Watch him now on the screen.
It's bad ball. It's bad football.
That was Jim Mellon, number 61.
I get.
Speak up, please.
Get you some of that, Jalen Tabor.
Is that good enough for you?
I'm almost embarrassed.
You can be miserable, but they are going to be miserable with you.
I said what I said.
We have to score.
What an exciting time in America.
And here he is, having the time of his life.
Don't clap. That could be tough. Don't clap.
Welcome back in, Cube Show, Sports Radio 730 and 103.9. The Yump. Appreciate you tuning in. Umpsports.com. Download the app in your app store. iPhone or Android, search WUMP. And don't forget about our friends at Valley Equipment Rental. Go to valleyequipmentrents.com. Whatever project you have at your home or at your construction site, bulldozers, trowel machines, pressure washers, tillers, stump grinders, and more, go to valleyequipmentrents.com or call 256-964-6081, 256-964-6081 today. We'll get back to talking some college football in about 19 minutes. Billy Lucci will join us to just talk how the Jimbo Fisher era is beginning in College Station, but wanted to spend some time talking some NFL from over the weekend.
Yes, sir. How about them Cowboys?
Are you one of the few still in belief that the Cowboys have a good shot of making the playoffs?
7-6, baby. Got everything in front of you. Got Oakland, yeah. Got Seattle, got Philly. It's all in front of you.
Philly's way in front of you, by the way.
They also have a broken quarterback, so let's just say that. But they've already clinched the division, so they may already have the number one seed by the time they played the last week of the season. Yeah, it's still technically all in front of them. They have a chance. 9-7's probably not going to do it this year, so that means they're going to have to win out the rest of the way, which is not impossible, but it's dubious with Seattle coming up in 2 weeks.
You surprised that a lot of people are just saying, oh, Raiders, oh, Seahawks, yeah, yeah, chalk up two dubs. It just doesn't feel like two easy wins to me.
Really stupid. Oakland's going to be easier this year, but it's still, they got a lot of weapons on offense, and the Cowboys can't get burned defensively, so I'm not really to the Cowboys were 10-10 late into the fourth with the Giants.
Yeah, it's not a great football team.
All right, I know it went out to be 30-10, but that's because the dam kind of broke near the end of the game. I definitely worry about that because this isn't the same Cowboys team. But for Seattle, that Seattle game, that's when Ezekiel Elliott gets to come back. So that could mean a lot or nothing. Who knows, really, at this point. What's more disconcerting for me is that there's still several teams to climb over, which could end up being, by the way, the Los Angeles Rams, because they don't control their destiny, so to speak. They don't control their own fate because they still have Seattle, and Seattle's already won the first game with them. And I think that game's this week. So in Seattle's one game back of them for their division, which means the loser of that game could end up being a very good team and another team the Cowboys have to try to climb over to get to the second wild card spot. So it's an uphill climb, to say the very least, for Dallas.
So you mentioned Philadelphia, and you mentioned Carson Wentz going down with some sort of a potential ACL injury. Reports that it's not fully torn, that it's sprained, a couple different things that you look at there. But watching Nick Foles operate that offense in the second half yesterday kind of got me thinking that it's a pretty decent spot to be in. I mean, if you're going to lose your starting quarterback, if you're going to lose a franchise player, if you're going to lose a guy that's already, with 3 weeks left, set the franchise record for touchdown passes in a season – Nick Foles, not a bad guy to turn it over to him. I mean, this guy's had some quality seasons as a starting quarterback in this league. He has starting quarterback capabilities, and for him to be able to take over, now it's going to limit things, and it's obviously not going to be the same. You lose your big physical presence in the pocket that was really good at standing there and sort of taking on heat and being able to deliver balls down the field. You're not going to have the same kind of a guy. But for Philadelphia, if this thing's not torn, I think you're still in pretty good shape. If Carson Wentz can brace it and rehab it, and this team probably going to get a first-round bye, still could be in a decent shot to go on and make a Super Bowl run. And I'm not going to go ahead. I mean, you mentioned how bad the Giants are. Philly's at New York next week. Then they get the Raiders at home Sunday night. And then obviously that game with the Cowboys that you mentioned. So you're going to rest other guys if you get that one seed. And not everybody's going to play. But I think to have Nick Foles as your guy who's coming in replacing Carson Wentz, still in pretty good spot. But let's be real. They're not making a Super Bowl run with Nick Foles. He's got to be a guy that can get them a win or two down the stretch. Hopefully lock up the number one seed and get a first-round bye.
And that schedule sets up for them to be able to get a win of the last 3 weeks of the season. I'm just – Nick Foles is a guy who's got a winning record as a starting quarterback. He does have that season where he went 27-2, touchdown interceptions, and that was a magical run, only supplanted by Brady a couple seasons later. So it was he's had moments – And he had to come back and lead that team to a win yesterday. They weren't winning the game. They weren't holding on to a lead. They weren't trying to hang on by the skin of their teeth by the time Nick Foles came in. He had to come back and win them the game. And that was a very impressive job to complete a third down pass. I think it was to Nelson Aguilar to basically kill the time that Los Angeles had. So he did a fine job. We forget, though, that Carson Wentz is 6'5", 240. That guy is a giant person with great mobility and has taken this offense to an entirely different level. Nick Foles can manage. He can manage to win a game, maybe even two, during this stretch. Hell, he may be, that offense is rolling the way it is. He may be able to win the rest of the games. I mean, this is not a bad offense.
No.
It's not as if it's all Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz has just been a beast when it comes into the red zone and been a beast on third down. But he can still win games for you. He's got great tailbacks. He's got a good offensive line. He's got great weapons on the outside. He's got a really good defense. They're going to be able to win possibly all three of these games with him.
No, I agree. I got to make sort of an embarrassing statement or admit an embarrassing fact about myself from yesterday. I watched the entire Colts-Bills game yesterday. Every minute of it, every play.
Why'd you say that out loud?
I don't know why I was so entranced by what was happening in this game. I was just enthralled with the conditions and how they had to manage it and how they operated with it. I didn't feel like anyone was going to throw the football. I mean, it was like into the first quarter before they got to three total passes combined. I think the Colts made it through the first quarter without attempting a pass. I don't know. It was fun to watch because there was at least a foot of snow just on the field, just snow laying there on the field. Half the time you couldn't see some of the players. Mm-hmm. I mean, the center had to dig out a trench to, like, put the ball down in to snap it. Kicking was an absolute chore to be able to dig out the snow, and then you didn't have a track to be able to approach and kick the football. Punts, the camera didn't have to pan up to see the punts because they were all just like flat line drive punts. I loved it. I'm not afraid to admit it. It was football and a couple feet of snow, and I thought it was great.
Too bad we'll never see Alabama in that. You know what's weird about that game is, ironically enough, Jacoby Brissett threw a touchdown pass in that game. There was one thrown.
Yeah.
There was somehow, some way in that game, there was one thrown. And by the way, this was the Buffalo Bills without Tyrod Taylor. This was the Nathan Peterman crew.
Yes.
He didn't stay that way. But, you know, here's what's weird about that game.
Well, it also came down to a big reception to sort of win that game. I mean, that Deontay Thompson catch late in the game that set up the Shady McCoy touchdown run, I mean, that was a big throw and catch, too. So in those conditions, it was kind of weird.
Yeah, I'm not going to like I watched all that game.
But I watched it all.
I think what was most appropriate about that game is the team that won.
Oh, yeah. You can't be the Buffalo Bills in that kind of snow and not be able to defend your home field in those conditions.
That's no matter how much the Bills pee down their own leg sometimes, and it does seem to happen a lot. They win that game is the most appropriate win you can have. more than maybe just as much as Green Bay winning on the frozen tundra when it comes late into December and January. Those wins with those teams make the most sense.
I mean, it was
I'm glad to see Buffalo and Charles Kramer do well.
Such a crazy, crazy game to watch. Like, and it was weird when they turned the lights off, they turned the lights on early in the third quarter, how it like just completely lit up the whole place because the light was reflecting off all the snow on the ground. It looked like a totally different picture.
Yeah, black absorbs the heat, light reflects it. That's why when it's hot outside, wear white, don't wear black.
Oh, good. Thank you.
Well, it absorbs it. You know, this is science, man. You're wearing black right now. If it was 95 degrees outside, you'd sweat as soon as you open the door.
All right, let's get to 10 After Tweets, brought to you by First Family Mortgage. Go to 1FMC.com.
Bring me the tweets!
Sorry to blow your mind with science.
All right, speaking of science, at Forever Auburn tweets, at Cole Kubik, do you think playing in heavy snow conditions like in Buffalo yesterday lowers risk of CTEs?
Mm-hmm.
Found it addictive, too.
You're getting tackled on pillows. So, yeah, it does lower it.
There's also not as many high-speed collisions.
Mm-hmm. Good point. I prefer the pillow theory. A lot of goose down, it looked like. It looked like a very friendly game of tackle. But Jacoby Brissett, by the way, said after the game the snow had nothing to do with the game. I was like, really?
Cause, okay.
Because you're like 6 of 16. It better have had something to do with it or else you're awful.
Gators football, at Gators FB tweets, welcome to the hashtag Gator Nation at underscore Coach Savage.
Welcome.
That is former Mississippi State strength coach Nick Savage. Does that make him, dare I say, the next Savage up?
Uh-huh. Yep. Uh-huh. Ooh, yeah. Strength and conditioning. Yeah. It's muscle milk.
Hey, do you think this place has actually had muscle milk in it, or do you think we're buying it because we're being sold a bill of goods? Like, if I were to walk into Alabama's practice facility, or maybe
they... No, they have them available. I can
They
attest.
Have muscle milk?
Yeah, they're there. It's
muscle
there.
Milk? Okay. I'm a cat tweet. Speaking of NFL, Deshaun Kizer looked like a turd at the end of that game yesterday. Did you see Deshaun Kizer, his attempt to throw the ball, away, maybe down the field? That basically cost his team the game?
Pretty much.
Deshaun Kizer took the snap on third down, looked like he was trying to run away, then squared up as he was getting hit, and threw basically a lazy pop fly into shallow center, which was then intercepted. And, of course, the rest, they say, is history.
Not good.
4-46 in their last 50 games.
That's gross.
It is. Deshaun Kizer, I cannot believe there's no one better. I swear, everyone who's mad at Colin Kaepernick should get over it just for the Browns' sake. Just say, you know what? Let him play for the Browns. If he's going to let him play, just let him play. Colin Kaepernick is clearly 1,000 times better than Deshaun Kizer. Clearly.
CBS News tweets, woman burns down Cincinnati, Ohio home, trying to kill...
Marvin Lewis.
Bed bugs.
Oh, yeah, well, that's how you do it. You're supposed to heat them up. That's how you kill them. I don't know how you almost burned down your house.
Three people were injured. 10 people left homeless after a woman accidentally started a fire trying to kill bed bugs with rubbing alcohol at a multifamily home in Cincinnati. Rubbing alcohol?
Is she like drinking it and like spitting it out like a flamethrower act?
You mean like putting your mouth and holding the...
And
probably, yes. Yeah, probably.
See, I thought she was going to take like the White Rain hairspray and like put a lighter next to it and just turn that aerosol thing into a freaking flamethrower, man.
A New Jersey boy... On November the 28th, 13-year-old boy also set fire to an apartment building after dousing his bed bugs with alcohol and lighting them on fire.
Where's the science teaching for these kids and adults?
A Detroit man last week also burnt his apartment building down and set himself on fire.
Sure.
After trying to kill bed bugs in his home. The sofa in the man's body caught fire when he tried to burn one of the bed bugs with a cigarette butt.
Yeah, that's how it works.
You gonna take care of this thing right here? What the hell's smoking? It's really... Oh, my God, it's out of control. It's out of control, damn it.
The Detroit man completely destroyed a 48-unit apartment complex. What are we doing?
Here's the saddest thing about that. The city can't do anything to him to try to recoup any of that money. That guy's got a dime to his name at best. Dude's trying to kill bed bugs with cigarette butts.
Yeah, it's not good.
By the way, when they're that big, move out.
Just leave.
Better case, just move out.
Brian Davis tweets, breaking! Texas officials will hire TCU athletic director Chris Del Conte.
Can't wait to not remember his name. God bless TCU. They lost him another one.
Hey, did you see this? Variety tweets, federal court rules against making a murderer's Brendan Dassey. We talked a lot about this show when it was when it was airing, when it was on.
So we get what's his name?
I think it's Brendan Massey, by the way, is it not?
No, the real guy. The guy's in prison now.
Well, Brendan.
No, Brendan's also not the guy that was originally convicted. It was like Kevin. No, that doesn't sound right.
Kevin.
Michael.
Try again.
Eric.
No.
Sebastian.
No. Sebastian?
Larry. No, man, this name's going to make complete sense. Brian? Tom Hart. Tom? Jordan Rogers.
Uh-uh. No.
Whatever his guy's name is, he's free now, right? He's got to be free. Unless he coerced another confession.
Stephen Avery.
Stephen, yeah. That's actually, no. That doesn't make sense at all.
Not one bit.
No, Stephen. But that is the name, yeah. Stephen's free, baby.
Yeah. Aaron Fentress tweets, breaking on December the 8th, Oregon to name Mario Cristobal new head coach.
Good for him, I guess.
Also, Mike Griffith at Mike Griffith 32 tweets, Bob Shoup is the new DC at Mississippi State after two seasons with the Vols. He'll be on the road recruiting soon.
That'll be interesting. Hey, before we move forward past that, back to the Cristobal. Did you see the headline that the Oregonian had on one of the stories? It said, Ducks see future in Cristobal. Get it? Like Cristobal. It's kind of clever. I appreciate that. I also appreciate those who are going to get in the Cube Show Bowl Challenge.
Yeah.
On the Facebook pages, Ump Sports and Cube Show. On Cole Kublik Twitter. On Cube Show Twitter. On Arky Shea Twitter. There is a link to be able to get into the Bowl Challenge, which will start this weekend with games. Actually start on the 16th, which is Saturday. It's the first bowl game that is in. That's the Air Force Reserve Celebration Bowl between Grambling State and North Carolina A&T. Games start this weekend, Cole, with six games this Saturday.
Wow!
Six! Starting at 11 a.m. and then just going on forever after that. So six games started off this weekend. Get in. If you just want to do an ESPN search for it, it's Cube Show 2017. That's how you get in. Giving away prizes, including a dabbing bobblehead of Cam Newton. Which, by the way, real quick, I know we got to get to a guest. Speaking of dabbing, I went to all these parades. We did 4 and 6 days for the Ump Sports and for Christmas parades.
Yeah.
Every single parade I dabbed in. But not because I like dabbing, but because multiple kids would dab. And they'd be like, dab, dab. And, like, they would dab, and I'd dab with them. And it made their day. Kids still love to dab, Cole.
No.
And I love to dab.
I don't know why you're proud of
Arky this. Arky loved the kids.
Why are you proud of this?
Because I made a kid's day. Doing some candy, too.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk with Billy Lucci of TexAgs.com about the Jimbo Fisher era starting in College Station next.
Dab!
Welcome back in, Cube Show, Sports Radio 730 and 103.9 The Ump. Billy Lucci of TexAgs.com joining us now. Give us an update on Jimbo Fisher. Billy, good morning, man. How you doing?
I'm great, Cole. How you been, buddy?
Doing well. What are the final details on this contract for Jimbo Fisher at Texas A&M? Because we hear about some of the contract, all the contract potentially being guaranteed. What is the final word on just how much of this contract for Jimbo Fisher is going to be guaranteed money?
Every penny of it.
It's insane.
$75 million.000000. All of it.
Think about...
fully guaranteed deal.
And it's all booster money, correct?
Yeah, they didn't have to... I say it's booster money. It at some point it was, but I mean, they didn't have to go around and pass around the coffer, so to speak. I mean, it was there. Texas A&M had it, and 12th Man Foundation had it. So it wasn't like they had to go and raise the funds to buy out Kevin Sumlin at $10 million and to go hire Jimbo. The money's there.
What do you expect right away, the biggest difference in just how this program is managed to be under Jimbo Fisher as opposed to Kevin Sumlin?
I like the fact that I heard him say to the A&M basketball crowd on Saturday, we're going to win an SEC championship and a national championship. That jumped out at me right off the bat, number one, and he kind of says it matter of fact. You can tell that he came here to do that. He didn't come here to transition to the SEC. He didn't come here to, prove that a certain offense could work. He's coming here to win a championship. You can tell. Like, I mean, whether that happens or not, time will tell. But that's his mission. That's what I think he knows he was brought here to do. He's good with that. And I think the biggest difference, Cole, two differences are going to be physicality in the trenches that you and I have talked about a lot. They've gotten there in baby steps on the defensive front at times, and then you still see them get pushed around pretty badly, like you saw down the stretch in certain seasons. But I think physicality in the style with which they play football. Up front, I think he's going to recruit those deep. They had Miles Garrett, and they've had some others. Kingsley Keke's going to be a solid NFL pick. But I think they're going to recruit at a higher level along the defensive front seven than they've ever been able to since joining the league. And I think they're going to play a style on offense that more fit. It's just a better fit for the defenses that they're playing against. They're not going to be playing catch anymore with these, first-round NFL D linemen coming at them and knocking them backwards because they're already moving backwards and things like that. I think it's going to be a more physical football team. And then on the mental side of it, I just think they're going to be it's a tougher football team in terms of their day-to-day preparation, the style with which they practice. I think it's going to be a tougher, more reined-in football team. And from everything from the way they practice, the way they work out to, the goals that they set and kind of what they're aiming for. Nothing will be loose anymore, I guess is what I'm saying.
Billy Lucci of TexAgs.com with us. And you mentioned sort of that different mentality, different maybe physicality. How do you believe that the personnel in place for A&M's roster, one that I believe is going to be really talented coming back next year, but how does it fit with what Jimbo Fisher is going to want to do, in your opinion?
I think defensively, I think it fits. I think he's got some – they return a lot of guys. They're recruiting a really nice class, again, in the front seven. I think that fits. You're going to want to upgrade. I think he's going to need a little more at defensive end. You need Michael Clemens to really pan out. You probably need to – I think, they're kind of patrolling the JUCO ranks to see if there's somebody out there up front to help them. But they're close. I think offensively is where your question becomes pretty damn relevant, right? Because how does that O-line fit? And I think the young guys that Jim Turner recruited that were true freshmen last year, I think those guys plus Eric McCoy are dudes that better fit this pro-style power running game type of play. And I think they'll actually benefit and be better than they were. Now, is there some, you know, do they need to continue to upgrade what they've got in the trenches? Yeah, but they're going to return about 9 guys up front and play, you know, started games last year. And they could return 5 starters if they want, like full-time. But I think the competition with some of these young guys, they'll end up pushing some of the older guys out. But guys like Jared Hocker, Carson Green, who started the last couple games at right tackle, Dan Moore, who started the Florida game, those were all true freshmen last year. They're all, you know, 305 pounds or more, a little bit wider bodies with guys like Hocker and Moore. So I think you'll see kind of a youth movement up front, and those veteran guys will provide great depth when you have a couple guys on the bench that, you know, started all or half a year.
Billy, what's the latest you can give us on this staff? I saw a note where it appeared as though Jay Graham's going to come over from Florida State and join the staff. I think that'd be a huge get. Anyone that you know that could potentially be retained, because, I mean, let's be honest, Kevin Sullivan had a really good staff there in Collins Station before he was fired.
Yeah, Jay Graham's here in recruiting. Damian Craig's here in recruiting. I think, you know, one of their ace recruiters at Florida State, Tim Brewster, is still very much in play. When you're talking about potential holdovers, I think Terry Price is going to be retained, the defensive ends coach, and that's big because not only is he an Aggie, he's been in the SEC for about 30 years and wildly popular with players and recruits. So that's kind of a nice guy to hold over just in terms of that transition. You know, he's going to help in that regard, and he's a good coach and recruiter. Jeff Banks is a possible. He's going to have a lot of options, though, I think, NFL and otherwise. So he's probably going to be a matter of, does he think, you know, hey, I'm a Sumlin guy, I'm going to go kind of start new somewhere, or if he's going to stay. And I think Jim Turner would be a possible, although I have a feeling, you know, they're going to go and kind of test the market for offensive line coaches as well, although I'm sure he'll be in the mix as one of the possibilities.
Yeah.
That's about it. I don't really see it going a whole lot deeper than that, although that 10th assistant could open it up where, you know, maybe you end up keeping 3 in a perfect world. But my prediction would be 2 stay.
Billy, great stuff, man. It's always good to catch up, and hopefully we can do it again soon.
All right, cool. I'm going to go on with Gabe now. You're a lot more entertaining.
Have fun. Tell him I said hello.
All right, I will.
All right, Billy Lucci of TexAgs.com joining the show. I think Jimbo is going to be good for Texas A&M. And I like the staff that he's putting together. I mean, some of the guys that Billy mentioned, it's going to be – they'll be able to – I mean, Damian Craig, Jay Graham, they're going to be able to recruit, which hasn't been a huge issue there anyway. But that playing a different style, that sort of run first, more of a pro style, run right at you style, is one that I'll be interested to see if they have the guys to be able to do it early on and how much maybe Jimbo has to change what he wants to do offensively if they don't.
Do you think Jimbo got spooked a little bit at Florida State by Clemson?
No, specifically? Not by Clemson. Well, I just think that he saw
Let me ask it this way then. If Jimbo got everything he wanted as fast as he wanted, he got all the facilities as quickly as he wanted, got the staff pays whenever he wanted it, got whatever he wanted, would he still be at Florida State? Would he still be this interested in the Texas A&M job?
I think he would still be at Florida State, and I'll go back a little bit. When you say spooked by Clemson, I don't necessarily think it's by Dabo or the team, but maybe a little bit spooked by what the university is doing. Seeing that they're building slides and nap rooms and brand new this and that, and Florida State can't even get them new offices, he's probably sitting back going, yeah, there's going to come a time here when we can't go up against that anymore. So I'll go somewhere where they'll give me whatever I want, and I'll fly helicopters around, and we'll have touch screens in all of our facilities, and it'll be pretty sweet. So, yeah. I have a question for you. We'll finish this up when we come back. What inanimate object do you love the most? You think about that during the break. Because I saw an article over the weekend about humans and their relationships with inanimate objects. Companionship or passion? How serious can it be? I want to know what yours would be, and I'll tell you about this new obsession that human beings apparently have when we come back right after this. Welcome back in, Cube Show, Sports Radio 730 and 103.9 The Amp. I'm going to get away from sports here a little bit.
This better be sports.
I saw
this
a
is sports talk show.
I saw an article over the weekend about an intriguing topic. One that I wanted to ask you about, Arky Shea. And I asked you if you had an affection for an inanimate object, which would it be?
Money.
Okay, but that's not like that's not like an object that...
That is money. That's an object. My debit card?
A thing. See, like your debit card, you have a...
But that's because there's money in it.
You have a relationship with your debit card.
No, I don't have a relationship with any inanimate object. I'm normal.
Now, why would you say that that makes someone not normal?
Okay. Anyone up here rub it up on a car or their TV? There's things I like. I like my TV. I guess I like my Xbox. I like the idea of Christmas. I like a lot of things. Am I in love with an inanimate object? I don't know. For you, it'd probably be shoes.
Objectum sexual or OS, something that human beings realistically suffer from. Sometimes can be referred to as objectophilia. OS has to do with the attraction and commitment to inanimate objects.
Objectum sexual sounds like something Tom Cruise was starring.
It's thought to be related to, in the autism spectrum, an antisocial personality disorder of sorts, maybe affected by past trauma.
So if you grew up without love, or you were damaged by something inanimately.
Maybe. Maybe you were damaged by a person, and that's pushed you away from being attracted to humans, and now you're attracted to objects.
Yeah, I mean...
Erica Eiffel disagrees. She said, OS people have a spectrum just as society does from one extreme to the next. It's a misconception that OS people only love objects and cannot relate to people on any level.
It's true. Sometimes they hate the objects.
She said, the reality is most OS people are social but choose not to expose themselves to public scrutiny and jeopardize the balance they have established. Now, her last name should be of intrigue to you. Erica Eiffel. She lives in San Francisco. She's that Eiffel is her married name.
All right.
She's married to the Eiffel Tower. She's married to the Eiffel Tower.
Like, is that what her husband calls her, you know, junk?
Elijah Rita Berliner Maurer, 54 of Sweden, is also known in the OS community for having married the Berlin Wall. I thought they tore that thing down, by the way.
Wow. Well, not all of it.
So, there's a woman by the name of Amanda Liberty.
Oh, no. Does this woman marry the Liberty Bell?
Actually, no. I don't think she took on a married name, but she is engaged to an inanimate object, and this is what she had to say about it.
This woman is engaged to her chandelier.
Yeah, what? I am not on board with this.
This woman is engaged to her chandelier.
Okay, at this point...
Proceed?
At this point, I have a minute to go.
Are you out?
Do I hear her out?
No. Do you want to hear more, or are
Should
you done
I hear
right
her
now?
Because this is weird already. This is weird already. Engaged
yeah.
to her chandelier. All right. Miss Liberty.
This woman is engaged to her chandelier. Seriously. She has a ring to prove it.
Okay. We can all go get a ring.
Sure.
By the way, I want a chandelier that buys me rings.
I would dump my wife for a chandelier. For any inanimate object that's buying me stuff, I'd drop her today.
Just like anybody who falls in love with some...
Okay.
Yeah, just like anybody out there.
What?
Just like all those other regular folk.
We're letting a Brit marry frickin' chandeliers in our country?
Wait, it's legal to marry multiple?
Just like anybody who falls in love with somebody else, they want to be close to them.
I don't like where this is going at all.
They want to be close to them, and so I enjoy...
Stand next to it!
They want to be close to them, and so I enjoy being close to my chandeliers.
Yeah, this is going to get really awkward.
Okay.
I don't know how a woman can get close to a chandelier.
Ears. Plural.
Oh, so she's a little promiscuous.
Sounds like it.
With these chandeliers. All right, fair enough. Hey, this is a judge-free zone.
To my chandeliers.
33-year-old Amanda Liberty owns more than...
We're in a judge-free ump.
My chandeliers.
33-year-old Amanda Liberty owns more than 24 fancy light fixtures.
She is a
fancy light fixtures.
When you look up chandelier synonyms in the thesaurus, what are you going to get? Fancy light fixtures.
Fancy light fixtures.
You can't just say chandelier over and over again. People also need to know what a chandelier is.
He owns more than 24 fancy light fixtures.
I've admired them for years. I've loved the way that they've looked. I've loved the way that the light catches on the little crystals.
She's admired them for years. She's a stalker.
Light in the crystals. Ooh la la.
Oui, monsieur.
Yeah, poo-poo. Yeah. Oui.
Like a little bit of the chandelier in
light
the crystal.
Light through the crystals.
Sherry?
I've loved the way that they've looked. I've loved the way that the light catches on the little crystals.
I get it. Ooh. They're hot. They're hot because the bulbs burn, but they're hot.
And I've just loved them in general. I think they're beautiful things.
Yeah, and then see... This is like, you know when like you tell your wife you love them, you love her, and like she thinks like it just gets watered down if you say it too much? This is how you water down love.
Like, we thought Brick Tamblyn's line, "I love lamp," was just a joke, but maybe in reality he was married to that lamp.
This woman is engaged to her chandelier.
I don't
save that line, by the way.
Chandelier that stole her heart is
stole
named.
Her heart.
Okay, this can't be real.
By the way, I have a couple more examples for you here quickly. Lee Jin Gyu of Korea is married to a body pillow.
Okay, hold on. I'm not done with this Liberty lady.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yet. There's more.
Lady Liberty and her chandeliers.
Oh, by the way.
I'm sorry, her fancy light fixtures?
That's her stage name, Lady Liberty.
The chandelier that stole her heart is named Lumiere.
Oh, she named it. Or it named itself.
After the candelabra in Beauty and the Beast.
Oh, of course.
Lumiere. Enchanté, chef.
That's exactly how I feel the whole time listening to this.
Light in crystals.
Lumiere. Enchanté, chérie.
Enchanté.
Enchanté, chef.
Miss Liberty, how are you today?
Enchanté, chérie.
But since she explains she's in an...
By the way, this music behind it is totally giving this, like, any kind of credibility at all.
It is.
You know,
it's real.
We're just doing it.
Real love.
What we need to be doing is yelling at this woman.
I'm talking about some real love.
You can't be rubbing up on a chandelier.
This is innocent love.
But since she explains
she's
in an open relationship.
Got light.
What? She's in a what?
But since she explains she's in an open relationship with the chandelier.
What? You can't tie down Lady Liberty to one chandelier. I gotta be free to date them all.
She sleeps cuddled up next to a different one each night.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Feels uncomfortable, but hey.
It's like when old game show hosts would say, make whoopee. You know what that means, cuddle
Some
up.
Some people would call me a whore, but I would say, I love lamp.
Chante, Chevy.
Amanda realizes she's unique and is proud of her story.
Okay, you can't honestly be proud of this.
Amy Wolf of Pennsylvania is passionately in love with an Ellsberg amusement park ride.
Chante, Chevy.
Edward Smith of Washington State claims he had sex with hundreds of cars in his relationship with a vanilla vintage Volkswagen Beetle.
No, he didn't.
Enchanté, Chevy. Enchanté, Chevy.
Amanda, what you got?
Out of her story.
She's what?
And is proud of her story.
I think it's good in the world to have a bit of variety.
No, it's not good in the world.
And is proud of her story.
I think it's good in the world to have a bit of variety. Have different types of people. If we're all the same,
the world would
be a really boring place.
They're actually not people. They're actually lamps.
Yeah, if we were all the same, it would be a boring place. But we don't have to go start humping lamps.
Enchanté.
Sorry, my bad, got a little. Hey, what turns you on more? 60 watt or 40 watt? I don't know. That depends on what you're into.
Enchanté, Chevy.
Oh. Objectum sexual is what it is.
Orkeche.
In theaters this fall. I cannot believe that's coming out this fall.
So if a woman is married to the Eiffel Tower, if you could marry any inanimate object out there, any one, what would it be?
Oh, in that case, probably like a Ford Aerostar.
Well, apparently this Edward Smith guy of Washington State can give you some tips on how to make that happen.
Enchanté, Chevy.
I know how to make that happen too. It's called 30 weight. Makes that slide of the exhaust that much easier.
Oh, boy.
Enchanté.
This lady marries a chandelier. This lady is crazy!
Back tomorrow, 6 to 10. Roundtable's next.